to see you here this morning. Appreciate all of the help last night from everybody with the cleanup and the event as a whole. Sometimes if it hadn't have been for the MC, it might have went real smoothly. Psalm 17 in your Psalter. Psalm 17. We're singing this to the tune, My God, I Love Thee. Let's sing verses 1 through 9 this morning. I think we've pretty much figured out how to say the particular words and things, so we're going to just sing it without a lot of instruction today. So let's try that. Lord, hear the right, attend my cry, unto my prayer give heed. That doth not in hypocrisy from feigned lips proceed. And from before thy presence forth my sentence do thou send. Toward these things that equal are, do thou thine eyes intend. Thou provest mine heart, thou visitest me, by night thou didst me try. Yet nothing bounds, for that my mouth shall not sin purpose die. As for men's words, I buy your word, that from thy lips abode. Did me preserve out of the past, wherein disorders go. Hold up my goal, Lord God, guide in those I pass divine, so that my footsteps may not slide out of those ways of mine. I call in upon thee, O God, because thou wilt be here. That thou mayest hearken to my speech, to me incline mine ear. Thy wondrous loving kindness show, that led by thy right hand, saves them that trust in thee from those that as that full of thee I be keep, in my being shape me close. From rude oppressors, from the sea, be round as deadly foes. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Very good. Beautiful. Love to hear that sung. And big help to my heart for sure. Psalm 17. We're still in verse number 6, but probably going to work through verse 6 and start verse 7 today if everything goes smoothly. Verse number 6 tells us, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. We have been talking about the assurance of God hearing our prayers. And the question might be, what about when we just don't know what to pray? When we are at a point in our life, maybe there's such great grief and sorrow over something that we don't even have words to express. We might say we're speechless in a certain circumstance because of our grief or because of our sorrow. Or maybe we're just confused over the path to take. And of course, when we pray, we want to pray accurately. But I would urge you not to stop praying because you don't know what to say. And I would encourage you to continue to pray even when you don't know what the perfect will of God would be.
I hear people sometimes, well, I've just been afraid to pray because I don't want to ask for the wrong thing. Well, you know what? God's bigger than your indecision. He is more sovereign than your prayer. So don't be fearful to pray, even if you don't know the revealed will of God over a certain matter. Pray biblically and pray without hypocrisy. Pray purely before the Lord, whatever your prayer may be, because there is a comfort. Turn over to Romans chapter number 8 with me. Romans chapter number 8. Don't ever stop praying because you're not sure what to pray. I've just not been sure what to pray about them, you know, so I haven't prayed. Well, you're making a mistake. The Spirit of God, we are told, aids us in our prayers. Even, by the way, when you don't know what to pray, the promise is that the Spirit of God will actually take our attempts at prayer and convey them to God in a proper way. Different than a translator, like us, a translator, the goal of a translator and the responsibility of a translator in a foreign language or a deaf interpreter is to exactly convey what is being said to the other person in their language. So if I say, the light is green and now it is red, the translator does not have the liberty to change it to blue and orange or anything else. The translator's responsibility is to do it exactly. Jesus is not a translator. He is a mediator. A mediator may at times take exactly what your sentiment is and put it in a more palatable form to the person that you are trying to negotiate with. You may say to your mediator, I'm going to sell that land for $100,000. I don't care what anybody says. I want $100,000 and I ain't changed my mind. You just let them know that, okay? Yes, I'll let them know. And they're mediating for you. And they'll go to him and they'll say, he said he ain't selling that land for anything. No, that's not how a mediator works. Mediators say, hey, he's got a price and he's pretty firm. And here's his price. And I don't think he's going to go down on it unless you can offer him something better. And now that's a good mediator. That's somebody that's coming in there and says, I'm bringing the truth, but I'm not going to just slay the person you're trying to reach. Well, here's what the Scripture says in Romans 8 and verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So not only are we supposed to be praying to God, but even in our failings, our infirmities, our weakness, our prayers with ailments, if you will, He helpeth our infirmities. And here's what he's talking about. When there's a colon there, and the colon says, here's the interpretation of what I just said, or here's the explanation of what was just said. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now that happens from time to time. And we have to admit, honestly, unless we're praying the Scriptures, many times we don't know if we're praying what we ought. You say, oh yeah, I know if something's right or if something's wrong. Right, but we might not know the degree that we need to be praying in a particular situation. And we might not know the emphasis that we ought to be praying over a particular matter or what's most important in a matter. It's a challenge sometimes to know that. So we pray by faith, knowing that we have a Spirit, the Spirit who will help our infirmities. He will graciously guide us in this, because there's times we don't know what we should pray for. And then he says this. Here's what he means. Here he's defining and clarifying that phrase, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So not only does the Spirit, as he says, can helps our infirmities, but also goes to the throne with sympathies. The Spirit goes gently before the throne in such a way and speaks to God in such a way that we could never possibly convey it to God in that way. These are groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit is able to convey to God in such a way that you and I would fail every time in our attempt to. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. We're being told, pray. But when you pray, pray with some confidence that God is going to hear exactly what God needs to hear in that prayer. So you can be sure when you pray, even if you feel like your prayers are so faulty. I have thanked the Spirit in my prayers before. I've been praying and said, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're helping me right now, because I don't know what to say. I don't know how to word this. I don't know what I should be asking for precisely. I know what I want in my heart, but it may not be God's will. And so, Spirit, thank you for interceding for me on my behalf. Look at verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. That's a comfort, that God Himself knows the mind of the Spirit. They understand each other. And he goes on to say, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you literally have Jesus understanding what the Spirit thinks, and he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I mean, this is the work of the Trinity is going on in the midst of our prayers. All of the Godhead is involved in our prayers. So this is why prayer is so important in a Christian's life. I don't think there is such a thing as a non-praying Christian unless it is a Christian who is not walking in obedience to God. So if we're in obedience to God, we're going to be praying, and we're praying with great confidence. Our text says, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. I mean, this is great confidence. I'm going to pray because I know God's hearing me, and I want him just to lean in to make sure he doesn't miss anything. And God says, don't worry, I won't miss anything, because I've got someone that's making intercession in such a way that even when you don't know what you're supposed to be praying and you don't pray it correctly, he will fix it and make sure that you're saying exactly what you need to say. I wrote out something one time, a document. I can't remember exactly what the document was for. I just remember doing it. And we gave it to a lawyer who handed it over to whoever it is in their office that fixes documents. And maybe the, I don't know, whatever they call them, somebody that works in a law office and they know all that kind of stuff. And what they sent me back to sign as though it was mine sounded like I was intelligent. I was like, wow, that's not the way I wrote that, but that really sounds good. You know, if I was going to read this, I would think that Daniel Michael is one smart character. But if they'd read my first one, they would have said third grade was a tough year for him. And I was thankful that there was somebody interceding on my behalf, that the lawyer didn't just take it and say, yeah, sign this thing, we'll be good with it. But they made it to where it made a lot of sense, and it just sounded so good. Go a few verses down in Romans chapter 8 to verse number 34. He asks the question, who is he that condemneth? This happens a lot of times. We condemn ourselves sometimes, don't we? When we realize our weaknesses and we're like, I'm just no good. This is no good. He asked the question, who is he that condemneth? He said, it is Christ that died. You didn't die for your sins. It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, has risen again, who's even at the right hand of God. What are you fretting about here? Why are you worrying about somebody condemning you? Why are you worried about something of this nature? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, actually, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. This is your confidence. It's not confidence in your ability. It's not confidence in the fact that nobody's condemning you. Nothing like that, you know. You need to be content that there's someone interceding for you. And so you need to go before the throne boldly, not haughtily. That's not what that word means. But go before the throne with the same attitude that the psalmist has in Psalm 17:6. Go before the throne with that attitude. I've called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. That's why I called upon you. Because you will hear. You will answer. Now, I've never called 911 except one time in my life. And they answered almost immediately. I had somebody tell me one time they called 911 and it went to a voicemail. Has anybody ever had that happen? You called 911 and went to a voicemail. No? I heard they said, yeah, it went to a voicemail. I was like, really? What did it say? Call back? And they said, well, basically, you know, all their circuits were full. And he was like, man, what happened? Was there an alien invasion or something? I said, no, only at the border. And so I don't know what happened. So we were born again. We are indwelt with the Spirit of God. And part of the blessing of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that goes with that is that the Spirit of God also aids us in our prayers. What a blessing. What a blessing. That ought to make you want to pray a little bit more often. Knowing there's someone who around the clock is working on my behalf. I wonder how long it takes God to intercede for my prayer compared to, say, Michael Dodds. When he prays. I wonder if when he prays, does the Spirit go, I'm not really having any trouble with this one. I'll just send this one right along as it is. And then he gets mine and he says, wow, poor pastor. Let me help him a little because he needs help. Or are we assured that there is such a precise working of a sovereign God that the sovereign Spirit of God always does exactly what needs to be done for every last one of us because we are all so needy. And I believe that's probably the case. We are all so needy. Pastors' prayers aren't going to be better than Brother Mike's prayers. But by the time they get to God's ears, they're like that document that that court lady took care of for me. It's exactly what the law demands. Exactly the requirements of the law when it arrives in God's ear. And so I'm very confident about that. And that's the one reason when somebody says, pray for me, I don't mind praying for them, even if I think they're asking for me to pray for something that's probably not appropriate. I've had that happen. I've had people ask me to pray for things that I'm thinking. And so I utter a prayer to God the best way that I possibly can for them, trusting that the Spirit of God knows what's best for them. I've had people come to me, man, pastor, pray for me. I've got a chance to get this job at such and such, and I'm going to be working every Sunday from this point on, and I'll be traveling away from my family most of the year and all this. But man, it's good money. I only have to do that for 2 years, and then it's all going to be better. And I'm like, I am going to pray for you. Not exactly like you're expecting, probably. I am going to pray for you. You know, sometimes I'll have people say to me, you know, pray for me, man. I've got, you know, my kids are getting to a certain age. They're looking for spouses. They're, you know, they're wanting to get married and all this kind of stuff. And there's nobody here in this church for them to marry. And I'm like, you're right. There's nobody here their age. Doesn't mean God's not going to bring somebody. Or that God's not even going to raise somebody up in your circle that's godly and loves the Lord. Or, you know, we're not like the throne of England where you can marry your cousin or anything like that. But and that is not the way it is in Alabama, contrary to popular belief. But listen, let's trust the Lord for these things. So what do? Go to Him in prayer. Take it to prayer. Don't walk by sight. Why are you walking by sight? You look around and go, well, I don't want to. Yeah, okay, then pray. Walk by faith, not by sight. Begin to pray and seek God. Because what do we got? We've got a promise. The Spirit helps us in our infirmities. You've got an infirmity right now. I don't know what it is. I'm sick. I need this. I don't understand that. Why is this going that way? You don't even know what to pray for. Well, the Spirit maketh intercession for us. That's what it says. For us. With groanings which cannot be uttered. What a personalized hotline. He does it for us. Man, that is a blessing. That's why I am never afraid to pray, even when I don't know exactly what to pray. I don't know what to pray about situations like that. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. Be obedient. Go to the Lord in prayer over it. Lord, I'm coming to you. I don't know what to pray for in this situation. But Christ died yea, rather is risen again and is at the right hand of God, and he makes intercession for us. So guess what? I really don't have anything to worry about. He's the one in control. I'm going to put my prayers before you the best that I know how and ask you, God, to work in my life in such a way that glory is brought to your name and that your will is done, even if I'm smitten, even if I'm crushed, even if I'm taken to the grave. I want your will done. Most of us don't like to pray that way. We want successful prayers. Lord, help me to ascend rather than descend. But if it's for the salvation of my children or my grandchildren, let me crash and burn if that's what it takes. God, whatever your will is, I want you to do all your holy will. Because mine might be jaded. Even when we have trouble knowing what to pray for in a matter, we're assured God is not hamstrung as to how to help us. As I said, the entire Trinity, the entire Godhead is at work caring for our needs. The Spirit, the Son, the Father, all working together in unison, aids our frail bark to still obey the command to pray without ceasing. Some of you haven't prayed much this week. And I'm only saying that in general because it was a survey that came out not long ago. I'm reading part of the survey to our college class. I don't know if it's this coming week or the next week, but there's a survey that came out. Ligonier Ministries, every couple of 3 years, they get together with Lifeway, and they use that big circle of church members at Lifeway and things of this nature, and they poll evangelical Christianity over various matters. And only about 3-4% of the people polled actually have a set prayer time where they go before the Lord and actually beseech Him for things. Most everybody says they pray during the day, throughout the day, but there's very little devoted prayer time and meditation on the Scripture, just 3-4% of Christianity today. Could you imagine if you got 50% of the church praying? 30% of the church praying. They really stopped and they said, today I'm going to pray. I'm going to pour myself into prayer before God. I'm going to fall on my knees before Him. I'm going to cry out to Him. Like the psalmist describes his position, sometimes he's made his pillow wet with tears in the night watch because he prayed. What have you prayed for somebody like that? How long has it been since you have poured yourself out like that? I'm not happy with the way something's going on at church. I'm not happy with the way something's going on at work. I'm not happy with the way something's going on. Have you poured your tears out in the night watch before God over it? Or have we just murmured about my miserable family life? My sorry neighbors. What have we done? Have we really given ourselves over to it? Well, the answer is 3-4% have. 3-4%. I would hate to think that we had a church full of folks and 3-4% of the people actually gave any money to the support of the ministry. 3-4% of the people actually showed up to church. 3-4% of the people. But that's kind of what's happening when 3-4% are praying. Nobody's showing up for what they're supposed to do as Christians. So I urge you, I plead with you, become men and women of prayer. If you don't know how to pray, pray the best you can and trust that the Spirit is going to intercede on your behalf. He's going to take that to the throne. God doesn't normally call somebody to do something that He doesn't eventually enable you to do. And what I mean by that is, you can render thanks to Him that if you're a mother and you feel like sometimes as a mother, I don't know that I'm equipped to do this because I feel like everything I'm doing is wrong. Look, God's called you to motherhood. I assure you the assistance and help is there, but go to Him in prayer. I don't even know what to pray for these kids. You know, maybe they'll leave me alone. You know, they're 3 and 7. They can't leave you alone. You know, you're stuck with them, you know. Okay, well, then I won't pray that. And, maybe I just don't know how to be a godly husband. I've tried. It's just not working. My wife, she's just always on me about this. Or my husband, he's just not taking the lead in the house. I haven't seen my husband crack a Bible open in months. I haven't heard him pray. He doesn't even want to pray with us at meals. Well, Tell that to God. Go to God on behalf of the infirmity in your family, on behalf of the weakness in your family. Hey, give that man to God. He'll do a much better job than you will of straightening him out. When God calls us to purity in our flesh, and nobody wants to deny that we don't struggle in the flesh over many issues. It may be lust, it may be greed, it may be anger, it may be slothfulness, it might be fear. Each of us have things in the flesh that we struggle over, but when God calls us to purity in the flesh, He makes us a provision for the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Now we know what Romans 13:14 says. Go over there to Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read a couple of verses there in Romans 13. Make a little more sense, maybe. Maybe it'll make sense to me. Romans chapter 13. Here's what the scripture says. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So that's the command, that we're not to make provision for our flesh. Meaning, don't set yourself up for failure. Don't put yourself in a position that your flesh will be impure. That you're going to find yourself in a position to do something that you know you shouldn't do. Don't make a provision for it. Rock climbers are always looking for a little ledge to grab a hold of or to put their foot on, and they're checking those out. But along the way, they drive spikes into the rock and then tie a rope to it. And that spike is strong enough to hold their weight if they fall 20 feet, and that rope catches them, so that it won't jerk out of the cliff and they'll die. So they drive it in. They make a provision for their flesh, so that if their flesh falls off the cliff 20 feet above them, that one spike in the rock is going to keep them. You and I do that sometimes for sin, for our own flesh. We make provisions. We set ourselves up. We take that lunch with that lovely lady from the office, knowing that we just had a blowout fight with our spouse that morning. We make provision for the flesh when sometimes we will be alone in the night watches with our internet access and our phone or our television programs or whatever it may be. And we make a provision. We provide a hook in the rock that's going to catch our flesh, because we're going to fall if we continue to put ourselves in dangerous places just like that. So Matthew Henry says of Romans 13, this passage, he said, four things are here taught. And here's what Matthew Henry says are taught as a Christian's directory for his day's work, to go out every day. When to awake, how to dress ourselves, how to walk, and what provision to make. And here it is, Romans 13, starting verse number 11. And he tells us these things. He says, when to awake, how to dress, how to walk, and what provision to make. He says, and knowing, verse number 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul makes it very clear how we are to protect ourselves. Now, go back to Psalm 17. In verse number 6, I want to read you what Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the old Baptist preacher, had to say about the text. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. O God, incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Listen to these great words here. Very helpful. Thou hast always heard me, O my Lord, and therefore I have the utmost confidence in again approaching thine altar. Experience is a blessed teacher. He who has tried the faithfulness of God in hours of need, has great boldness in laying his case before thy throne. Stoop out of heaven and put thine ear to my mouth. Give me thine ear all to myself, as men do when they lean over to catch every word from their friend. He said, that's how I want you to hear me, God. Like you're going to lean over and hear me. Now you and I go through this life looking for warranties and guarantees. It's the weirdest thing. The other day I bought something at Walmart, and it was about a $9 item, something. It was 99% plastic and all this kind of stuff. And I get up to the cashier and she said, would you like our Walmart extended warranty? Only $4.99 for 1 year, $7.99 for 2 years. I said, this thing ain't gonna last 6 months. Well, then you can get your money back. I said, Walmart return policy, I can get my money back in a year from now with this thing. Are you kidding? Why am I arguing with this woman? I went, no, thank you. But, you know, we're always looking for a warranty. We're always looking for a guarantee, though, on something that we want to make sure we get our money back. We sure, you know, and that's important to us. Well, who here has ever heard of the term catholicon? A catholicon. It's an old term. If you haven't heard it, don't be surprised, because I had never heard of it. I was reading an older book. The other day, it was a PDF of an old book, and it was talking about the dependence upon a catholicon. A catholicon? What in the world is a catholicon? Well, what it actually is in our modern ears would be a panacea, a remedy for all diseases. And years ago, before medicine became the serious professional money-grabbing profession that it is today, there were several things that were put together by people who call themselves practicing physicians that they claimed would cure anything or prevent anything. And they were called catholicons. And I have a catholicon here for you. The most famous one that I was reading about, because this is one of those rabbit trails, it had four different herbs, and it had rhubarb in it, because rhubarb was like the magic ingredient for the catholicon. And it had a very strong alcohol base, almost so strong you couldn't drink it. So probably if you took it, it didn't cure it, you wouldn't care, is the idea behind it. But they would mix honey in it to make it more enjoyable to drink. This catholicon, they determined, worked approximately 10% of the time. That doesn't sound like a panacea, does it? It doesn't sound like a cure-all. It worked 10% of the time. That's not a very good record. As far as we know, for our health, there isn't a panacea. We're all going to die. We're all headed to the grave. And if that's not been more aptly displayed this week in our own congregation, I don't know what has, as we said goodbye to three beautiful ladies this week. But there's nothing that is going to cure all of our ailments. Our text here reminds us there is one sure guarantee, though. When you call upon the Lord, He will hear you. He will hear you. Heaven will not be an iron lid placed over us. He'll hear us. He'll hear His children who are calling upon Him. Prayer is our best remedy in any calamity. It has the best warranty. It has the best guarantee. God prescribes it to His children as preventative, and He prescribes it to us as a cure. These are the things that we can be assured of with prayer. It is preventative, and it is also a cure. So be faithful to use it every day. Don't get to where you're using it like a multivitamin and you don't think anything about it, but make sure that it is a serious part of your day. It's like they say, taking a walk is one of the best things to strengthen your core muscles and a bad back. Taking a walk, just going for a walk. Not thinking about going for a walk and telling your friends how you need to start walking. That's not the panacea. That's not going to work. And I don't know how many times I hear people, man, yeah, I need to start on that. I ain't going to do that. I need to start walking. I need to be walking. You know, you just do this. You pray. I'm going to close with Matthew Henry one more time on this text. He said, I've called upon thee formerly in the past. Therefore, Lord, hear me now. It will be a great comfort to us in trouble when it comes to find the prayers of wheels a-going. For then may we come with more boldness to the throne of grace. Tradesmen are willing to oblige those who have long been their customers. So are you God's customer? Do you find yourself before the throne quite often? I'm sure Pastor Josh has greater affinity toward that guy that has bought 50 pounds of feed a week for him for the past 3 or 4 years than somebody that comes in and said, you got water hoses? I never stop in places like this because y'all always so expensive. I like to go to Walmart. Josh goes, we don't carry garden hoses. But he does. He carries garden hoses. He'd sell him a garden hose. But you know what? He's probably not expecting that guy to come back as readily as that regular customer is going to come back. In fact, businesses have discovered keeping a customer is much cheaper than getting a new customer by almost 90%. That's amazing. Keeping a customer, a lot cheaper. And so God, be His customer, if we want to put it so crassly. Find yourself before the throne, taking advantage of the thing that God has promised us will work. And that is going to Him with prayer. Don't be a prayerless Christian. It doesn't bode well for your name, Christian. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll be back in here in about 10 minutes. Father, I thank You so much for giving us this sure word, this reminder too in Your word of how faithful You are to hear our prayers. Now, Lord, I'm calling these saints to become faithful. More than 3 or 4%. God, help us to be much more faithful than that. I pray now that You would bless our congregation to grow in grace and knowledge of the word preached today as Pastor Josh once again opens up the word to us this morning. May You be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.